Welcome, and thanks for joining me today on Mortgage Manager Playbook, a podcast for sales leaders who want to improve their team's sales performance and originate more loans. I'm Pat Sherlock, your host.
Today's topic is one of my favorite topics because it's so important in any industry today, but managing change. And I'm thrilled to have Jeff Schumer come back and talk to us about this topic. Jeff's well known within our industry. He was a former head of the MBA education side. He's currently a head of financial independence, a real estate coaching and consulting firm. Prior to that, he was with FHA and Wells Fargo. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Pat. Nice to see you again.
Yeah. Well, change is constant, as we well know, but how to manage it. This is why I couldn't wait to talk to you about this topic, because I don't see change slowing. And so we have to be better at it. And so share what you see with lenders and managers who can manage it well versus what you see with others who do not manage it well.
Yes. Well, I would share with you a couple of ideas here. I think that first is what's required is to identify the type of business situation you're going to find yourself in as a leader.
Right.
There's probably four different basic business situations that once you're in them, you can begin to identify what you're in for and then what you need to be doing, particularly as it relates to change in a stressful and dynamic environment that we're going through right now in mortgage lending. The first business situation would be a startup. If you're just beginning, an organization and you need to start it up, that's a really important situation to know about, because that requires a lot of energy, a lot of fire ready aim type of mentality, because you are having to pull together all your resources very quickly. You're having to get to market as quickly as possible. You're going to be experimenting. You're going to be trying new and different things to get traction and to get yourself going in the direction you need to. The other is a turnaround. When you find yourself in a company that is stumbled, that is having setbacks, all of a sudden that you need to change the dynamic of that environment, it's a turnaround. And that requires a different set of skills. And part of that is having a sense of urgency as a leader. There's really no time to waste when it comes to a turnaround situation. And so when we find ourselves behind the curve, we need to begin thinking, okay, what do we need to be doing differently right now? Do I have the right change coalition within my organization? People with me that understand that we're in a change dynamic and that will embrace that and that will run with it along with you as the leader. So it's important to get the right people in the right seats when it comes to a turnaround situation and assemble the strongest coalition you possibly can in that regard. The third thing I would also state is that as a leader, when it comes to change, establishing a compelling vision of where you want to go is so important, because people are maybe a little apprehensive. They see these things as new and different. The way they've always done it now is going to be different than when they're going to do it going forward, and to have a vision to talk about future trends that will influence the way how we're going to get our work done, how we then voice a compelling image of what the future will look like when we get to that place of change, how do we show others how their long-term interests can be realized, and enlisting their commitment to where we're heading as a team. And then, how do you paint the big picture again of where we're going? Mm-hmm. Vision, yeah. Inspiring people to make changes, necessary changes, whether it be to get to the next level or just to survive and rebound from a major setback or decline, are essential to use some of these things.
So, Jeff, in your view, can that really be done with an outside party? In other words, you see Bain and a lot of McKinsey and a lot of the third parties coming in and kind of running the show and moving an institution to that whatever next level they need to be. Is that the right way to do it, especially when you run out of ideas?
There are many ways to go about bringing change. And when a consultant or an equity firm might come in, private equity firm might come in and then begin to make these changes, it's going to be met with skepticism sometime, suspicion. There's going to be an air of, you know, what's going to happen next. So it goes back to that element of how do you build trust first, and how do you create that kind of mission and vision that the organization can invest and buy into. And so it's in any business, it's a people business, and people are going to want to know that you're in there for them and to help them be successful. So can it work as a private equity investor or a consulting organization to come in and to make these changes? Yes, but you will have to work very closely with the existing leadership within the organization so that you're on the same plane and alignment in terms of where you want to go, how you want to communicate it, and then how do you bring people along so they feel a part of it. So it takes a lot of skill. Most mergers, acquisitions, takeovers, what have you, can be very rocky, and it's going to depend upon how both inside the organization and outside the organization work together to determine whether it's going to be successful or not.
So what would you say is the hardest issue, especially if you started the company with your core buddies and then you're now moving into this other realm of performance because the market has changed and so forth? And to let go of your core buddies is really a hard issue for many mortgage lenders, because those mortgage lenders, you know, started maybe from nothing and moved it up to some sizable amount. And so how should that be handled? And what is kind of your experience with it?
Yeah, I think when you organically start an organization and you partners, I mean, that's blood, sweat, and tears you've all been a part of, and you've grown together. And at some point in time, maybe there needs to be some sort of a break within that team. It's a very complicated type of experience. Mm-hmm. And it just depends upon the dynamic of the individuals that are working together and how that is handled. I'm a big believer in, you know, modeling the way and treating people with dignity and respect in all circumstances, in all situations.
Right.
That's so important in terms of gaining the trust necessary for people that you work with, when you have to have those difficult conversations about maybe breaking the organization up or moving on, buying someone out. That's going to take a lot of work, effort, trust, and skill to be able to effectively pull that together and make it successful. So that takes coaching. That takes someone who can work with you and can navigate those kind of rough waters when you encounter that kind of place, you know, in that business phase.
It's interesting that you talk about that, because if you look at it, and I just remember from the Harvard Business Review, where they talk about many of the really management of change issues, many of them fail. I think the percentage is somewhere between 65% and 75%. But the ones that succeed are actually companies, and IBM's a perfect example, though this goes back a ways, where they actually really changed their whole strategy and had not just outside parties coming in. There was obviously some of that, but they certainly were developing and really utilizing their current staff. And I just see this over and over again. Bringing in a new team isn't necessarily always the right answer.
That is true. And that new team coming in with the existing people in the organization can be a source of contention, tension, uncertainty. And so that is going to play a big part in whether or not that change is going to be successful. Coming in as an outside entity into an existing entity to try to create change is going to take some time. And for the change agent to come in, I have found that it's really imperative to first listen, observe, and refrain from taking immediate action before you get to learn and know about all the different dynamics of the organization, the hopes, dreams, fears of individuals, of the business product and service itself. So that's going to take a very delicate balance from the company coming in and or the change team that's come in to help navigate that. So I would say, again, to be cautious if you're the one coming in first and listen and get input and get information, ideas from the existing organization so they feel they have a role to play and they are mm-hmm. a part of that change that is going to be initiated.
So what are your thoughts? And this is something I've experienced when consulting, is that what management, senior management thinks the problem is and what the real problem is can be completely different. And so how do you overcome that gap where they want to make a change?
Well, I think there's a misalignment
sure.
of what the problem is and what the solution could be. How do you gain alignment? And that's the question. Mm-hmm. So maybe there are areas that the leader is not really a part of or understanding fully before they leap into making that change. Okay. As I said, it's important to be able to, you know, build trust and then gain input from your organization. So you know you have the right information. Good information results in good outcomes. Without good information, then your outcomes, approaches to the problem can be fragmented. And then suddenly, as you said, staff may see it one way, the leader sees it another way. And then also you have this conflict and this friction, and then you're really not in alignment and things are starting then to deteriorate. So I think the leader has to really make an extra effort to make sure that all their bases are covered when it comes to acknowledging or first understanding the problem, what the issues are, what's behind those issues, and then making sure to validate that through conversations with the key players within the team. So then that will, I think, filter things out into where they need to go and what they need to be doing.
So that leads to the issue on a couple of points of how would you suggest to managers to stay in alignment with their organization? Once they move up to the top, a lot of times what you see in consulting, they really don't know how the loan's even being processed. I mean, they know it when they did it, but it was a long time ago. And so how would you suggest that leaders stay in alignment with what's really going on so when they come to make change, that change is better accepted?
That's a really good question, Pat. And my experience has been with the great companies that I've worked for and been a part of. The leader at the EVP or the COO or the president, what have you, is highly engaged in many aspects of the organization. They get out into the field, so to speak. They get into the trenches to see what is going on, to validate what they're hearing, what people are maybe telling them, to make sure that they have a firm idea of what's, you know, what the issues are. And that could be, you know, not doing the work, but that can be done in a myriad of ways. It could be, you know, roundtables and listening events, you know, at different parts of the organization. You know, so there's different ways as a high level leader that you can engage yourself with the organization, the different departments, and better understand problems or the challenges or the successes. So then you can take that and duplicate it into other areas of the organization, because I think pilot programs are really very valuable. So as a high level leader, to begin establishing these pilot programs to experiment with maybe what's working in one area and bring it to another area is absolutely critical to elevating the performance of your entire organization. That requires engagement mm-hmm. from the senior leaders, not going out and just, you know, putting it on autopilot and relying on their senior staff to give them just the information. What we used to call that is management by walking around. getting out of your office and getting out into the environment and learning more. And then, you know, how you can work more closely together with people. And then also that builds a lot of trust. People like to see their leader out in the their departments. They want to connect. They want to see you're real. They want to see that you're human. They want to see that, you know, you're receptive to maybe ideas or input or feedback that can be helpful.
So what do you think of, for instance, Gallup has an engagement survey. Is that another mechanism to see what's going on? But it seems to me a lot of those things kind of get put in a direction that it doesn't really seem helpful to me. So what are your thoughts on things like that, where you survey what the people are thinking?
Yeah, engagement surveys can be useful. Of course, they're done anonymously.
Sure.
So you're getting this feedback and you're starting to acquire data and information and maybe some trends through analyzing, you know, some of that information in terms of, you know, their happiness, their sense of engagement, commitment, you know, their perception of opportunities to grow and to take on, you know, more responsibilities in the organization. And that's helpful. It's a barometer. But at the same time, people do tend to hide behind those as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they may not give you the most unvarnished and candid feedback in those types of situations. You encourage that, but it's useful to a point. I think it is a tool within the box that an organization can use. I have been with organizations that have done that, that have marginal improvement after an engagement, and they go back to their old ways.
Yeah.
And then I've worked with organizations that have never done an engagement surveys and have performed wonderfully well and been extraordinary because the leaders are so connected and engaged on an ongoing basis as part of the culture.
So what would you suggest would be the amount of times a leader should be out, whether it's a sales executive, ops executive, or the president? How often do you think that a leader should be out, and not just at the annual rally that they have every year? How often should that be?
I think it should be a part of how they operate and how they lead on an ongoing basis. Yes, they are the head of the organization or the leader of their particular organization and want to be at those, you know, those celebratory events, those president clubs, those kinds of things.
Sure.
Sales kickoffs, you know, for the coming year. But the hard work comes in getting out into the field on an ongoing basis. So as a leader, you know, I used to get out probably at least on a monthly basis into the field, into loan centers, meet with underwriters, meet with realtors during roundtables, asking what's important to you, what are your challenges, what do you need from as a lender, you know, what are your pain points, what are your obstacles. So the president or the executive of the organization, I think, should be there out there in the field at least on a monthly basis, maybe quarterly at the very least, to be out there engaging and exchanging and letting the people see who they are and more of as a listener and wanting to learn rather than a teller and a director.
No, I agree with that. And that reminds me of, I worked at MBA, it was a credit card company, and they made all their executives get on the phone once a month. And that's always well-run companies. You got to do things like that. Otherwise, you're getting filtered information, and that never ends well because it might be biased. So,
Pat, you bring up a great point. When I ran many parts of loan administration with a former company, we had over 500,000 loans in the portfolio.
Yeah.
And as a senior leader in the organization, I made it a point to go down to the customer service phone center and sit down with the representative on a, you know, every other month basis to listen to the calls from the customer.
Right.
To know that I cared, I was connected, that I wanted to learn and I wanted to know more about what was going on. And guess what? People saw that and they looked at that and they said, gosh, that's really, they're committed to coming down here and they want to know more about that. That is something that really motivates and inspires people.
It is. It's some of these traditional things really are smart managing for sure. So anyway, so Jeff, we only have a few minutes left. Would you like to share some takeaways about how to manage change?
Yes, I would say going back to you know, identify consciously what business situation are you finding yourself in? Is this, it is a startup? Is it a turnaround situation? Are you going through a realignment? Maybe you're doing a little bit of a tweaking and you need some realignment and some parts of the organization aren't working to the level that you would like them to. Maybe you're in a sustained success. How do you take the company that's already succeeding and performing well to the next level? So identify your business situations. Then once you have, understand that when you need to affect change, there needs to be a sense of urgency. You need to bring on a change coalition, have the right people with the right mindset in terms of where you're going, why you're doing it, what the vision is. And then communicating that vision, I would say times 10. It has to constantly be repetitive wherever you are, whether you're in meetings or individually one-on-one, so people can see that that's important and that's something that they want to be a part of.
Well, I agree 100% with that. I have to have you come back and talk about the cultural side, because I do think that is the part that really drives everything, and what they think the culture is and what it really is can be two different things. So, Jeff, how can people get a hold of you?
Yes. Well, they can certainly email me at jschumer, S-C-H-U-M-M-E-R, at me.com. They can phone me at or text me at 210-416-2684. Or please visit my website at the10xcoach.com.
Well, I want to thank you, Jeff, and I want to thank our listeners. And certainly, if you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe and get one each Monday. Thanks so much, Jeff.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Manager Playbook. You can catch up on all our episodes by subscribing to receive each week a new show. Don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and team members. If you're looking to increase production, call me to discuss my prospecting sales training program, Ramping Up Realtor Referral Sources. Check out my website, www.patsherlock.com.